The views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
Have you ever read Sun Tzu's The Art of War?
I'm waiting for the Reader's Digest version.
Sun Tzu was a general of ancient imperial China, and he teaches us, paraphrasing, of course, knowledge precedes victory, ignorance precedes defeat.
Really? Well, an Uzi precedes a bloody mess, even in China.
Let's do it my way.
Welcome, everyone. It is Thursday, April 6, 2023. I'm Bob Metz, and this is Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. Join us for an hour of discussion that's not right-wing. It's Just Right.
Fade into color, and color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
He has been described as the personification of the art of war, and he insists on fighting this war his way. I'm referring, of course, to Donald Trump, who last week, Thursday, was indicted by a Manhattan grand jury for not even one of the charges that appear in the indictment, because all of them are BS and have nothing to do with the real story that we are watching unfold before our very eyes. And the big question that we'll be tackling today is this: will Trump be unprecedented by the unprecedented events and developments that we are seeing? I think not. But not because of anything that we've been hearing about all of the legalities and arguments surrounding this latest political assault on Trump. I have come to the unavoidable conclusion that the real Trump story behind everything that we've been witnessing since Trump sought the presidency and first occupied the White House is so fascinating, so incredibly beyond what most people believe is going on, or perhaps can even bring themselves to believe, that perhaps what you will hear today may be, shall we say, uncomfortable, but for both good and bad reasons. It's the story behind all the Trump stories that isn't being discussed widely enough. And that story begins right after our reminder that you can write us at feedback@justrightmedia.org. Hear us on WBCQ and on Channel 292 Shortwave. Follow and like us on your favorite podcast platform, and visit us at justrightmedia.org, where you can access all of our social media links, archive broadcasts, and the support button that makes it easy for you to support the show. Because as always, your financial support is appreciated and is what makes this show possible. Well, it's deja vu all over again with regard to our ongoing coverage of Donald Trump's presidency, and I'm beginning to detect a pattern that is significant to the determination of some kind of realistic perspective surrounding the whole phenomenon of what we might loosely call the Trump derangement syndrome. Back on our August 18, 2022 broadcast, Just Right 772, we followed up on comments made by Donald Trump at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, that ran from August 4th to 7th, 2 weeks before our broadcast. After describing America on the edge of an abyss, Trump called for a crippling defeat of the radical left socialist lunatics. Those are his words, declaring that we have to shatter the corrupt Washington establishment once and for all. Vowing to drain the swamp, Trump declared that it is time to clean house in Washington, expose exactly what they are doing, what they're hiding, who they're silencing, who is funding it, and who is coordinating it. Only days later, those comments were followed by the precedent-setting, there's that word again, FBI raid of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Having clearly anticipated that political raid, Trump's safe was empty before the FBI agents broke into it. His security system recorded the inappropriate activity of agents while in his home. And all the while, Trump had been insisting that the documents and records the FBI said it was looking for should be made completely available to the public. So to understand why the FBI and Deep State are so fearful of Trump, one has only to consider his political agenda, made clear at the CPAC convention, and the pattern to which I was referring has to do with the actions and reactions of the deep state every time Trump announces his agenda and intentions. Trump is not playing defense. He never has been. He's always been on the offensive, and that's why we see the continual, sheer, and utter terror of those called the deep state and those on the left. Indict, impeach, raid his home, accuse him of insurrection, lock up his supporters. My God, we've never seen anything like this. And if you think this is normal in any kind of a free society, think again. Last week, Thursday, I was already in the process of preparing today's show about the threat that Donald Trump represents to the deep state when late in the afternoon, my daughter Danielle phoned to let me know about the breaking news that Trump had been indicted. I literally laughed out loud and said to her, "You can't be serious." But she told me she was. And given what I was already about to spotlight on today's show before these indictments, I have to confess that I was anticipating some kind of bizarre action on the part of the Democrats, and sure enough, they delivered right on cue. So far, all of the reactions to their stupid indictment have been quite correct and properly condemning, but completely superficial and missing the real issue, which has nothing to do with Stormy Daniels, a circumstance which is acknowledged by everyone, especially given that both Trump and Daniels have made it perfectly clear they had no sexual relationship whatsoever. So what gives? But before we even begin with our own response to the Trump indictment, which is precedent-setting, as are so many of the bizarre and irrational actions being taken against Trump since the very first day he appeared on the political stage, we have a little trip to make. So I hope you're prepared to go down the proverbial rabbit hole. And you know why we have to go down there? Because that's where all the rabbits are. And one of those rabbits is Jerome R. Corsi, Ph.D., who on his own website informs us that he has published 25 books on economics, history, and politics, including 6 New York Times bestsellers. Dr. Corsi was a senior editor at WorldNetDaily.com, where he authored hundreds of articles. The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change is his 3rd book on those subjects. Meanwhile, Wikipedia describes Corsi as, quote, an American conspiracy theorist and author. His books have been criticized by opposition. Corsi has discussed conspiracy theories, such as the alleged plans for a North American Union government, the birther claims that President Barack Obama is not a United States citizen, criticism of the United States government for allegedly covering up information about the September 11 attacks, and the alleged United States support of Iran in its attempts to develop nuclear weapons. End quote. Incidentally, Robert and I discussed Obama's fake birth certificate on May 5, 2011, just right 198, and Robert confirmed that the fake certificate was actually accessible on the White House's own website, and that Robert was able to download it and disassemble the document, confirming that it was faked. You can't make this stuff up, folks. And we certainly wouldn't. Now, Wikipedia also notes that Corsi, in 2017, became the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for the conspiracy theory website InfoWars, but no longer works for that website. They also point out that in 2018, Corsi was subpoenaed by the Mueller special counsel investigation over his contacts with former Donald Trump advisor Roger Stone and foreknowledge of WikiLeaks releases of stolen Clinton emails, end quote. So now that we've established some idea of Corsi's identity and credentials, here's where we're really about to jump into the proverbial rabbit hole, and right back out again, with, hopefully, a deeper understanding of what all the fuss over Trump is really all about. Because the story begins with Trump's first appearance on the political stage and why he chose to enter politics. And in the interest of full disclosure from the outset, let me say that what you're about to hear completely concurs with every narrative we've been following on this show since the beginning of Trump's first ascendancy to the White House. And I pretty much agree with the broad general narrative we're about to hear. It fits all the pieces of the puzzle that we've been sorting through since the beginning of Trump derangement syndrome. I have to confess, though, that his very first opening comments regarding Obama were a bit of a shock to me, but explained perfectly the rest of the narrative, which we've already aired and archived on past broadcasts of this show. But I'm expecting the real trigger word you're about to hear shortly, and which explains why we're talking about going down the rabbit hole, is that word QAnon. Hey, of course, he's a conspiracy theorist, right? So, on this side of our upcoming bumper, we'll be hearing the voice of Mr. Jerome Robert Corsi himself speaking at a recent dinner in connection with promoting his book, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. While on the return side of our bumper, we'll be hearing from Donald Trump himself about the 10 steps he plans to take to kill the deep state. And if you have any remaining doubts about why the deep state is attempting everything it can possibly do to get rid of Trump, including their unprecedented indictment, you will suffer from those doubts no more.
About 3 years ago, a group of generals came to me, and it was explained to me they were ready to conduct a coup d'etat. They're ready to move Barack Obama from office with military force. And then a few weeks later, I got another call and said that they were reconsidering. You know why they were reconsidering? Because they talked to Donald Trump. And Trump agreed that he would run. And they agreed that if he would run, they would conduct their coup d'etat as a legitimate process, rooting out the traitors within government. And that pact between the military and Donald Trump has held. As we've been interpreting and watching, and Alex has been following QAnon, QAnon is military intelligence and close to Trump. And the intelligence we're getting really is a lot of the inside script. Now, everybody says Donald Trump is going to lose. He's going to be out of office. He's going to be impeached. You watch CNN, MSNBC, they're throwing a party today. And all the 20 people watching them across the nation are very enthused. Donald Trump will not be removed from office. He will not be removed from office. And in the counterattack he's going to launch, one or two facts that could change everything. Get a report from Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General, who details the corruption within the Department of Justice. Donald Trump is right. Maybe we should tear down the FBI building and start over again. And if you take a look at the depth of this corruption, it's pervasive. Since George H.W. Bush, the bureaucrats who have stayed, including these SES bureaucrats, who are there mostly permanently, they're globalists. They don't believe in America anymore. They think they're smarter than America, smarter than the Founding Fathers. We ought to revise the Constitution. They are, there's a very simple word that describes what they are. Traitors. Traitors. It's a capital crime. And I want to predict to you here today that when the tables turn, Donald Trump will be invoking military tribunals, and even Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are going to be facing treason charges. It will not end, and Donald Trump will have the courage to do that. Every time it looks to me, I've said this about Donald Trump, I've known him for decades. I said, Donald Trump always looks like he's going to lose until just before he wins. Always. He's always looking like he's one inch from being, you know, losing all his money. One inch from losing this deal or that deal. Everything Donald Trump has done in his life has been a success. And in the final game of this, I think Donald Trump will reduce the bureaucracy. I'd say 95% would be good, maybe 100%, because the bureaucracy isn't specified in the Constitution. There's no discussion. There's no article about the bureaucracy, which means it can all be removed. Fire them all. You know? And I think what we can have is a rebirth, as we say, of freedom in this country. But I want to say two or three things about Zuckerberg. Someone has come forth as a Silicon Valley insider anonymous and has been writing me extensive emails, which I've now been able to validate. And the story of Zuckerberg and the others is this. Facebook, all of the major ones, Twitter, YouTube, Google, every single one of them is a creation of the CIA. They were funded by the CIA, and they were there. And by the way, they are all considered dispensable. Zuckerberg may not realize it, but he's in the ejection seat. And the button will be pushed and he'll be ejected out. But the real power in Silicon Valley is the infrastructure of the internet. It's the Oracles. It's the Microsofts, the Sun Microsoft systems. These are the tracks, the railroad tracks on which the internet runs. The bridges, the infrastructure. And the people who are really controlling Silicon Valley are the Larry Ellisons. These are the people you know less about because they're not the front men. You know, Zuckerberg is dispensable. Eric Schmidt is dispensable. Google is dispensable. They'll just replace it with another one because the real godfathers are the Larry Ellisons and the others. And who funded Larry Ellison? The CIA, the military-industrial complex, moving in with Lockheed and the others wanting the creation of a new generation of electronic hardware for the military. And in the process, and that started going back into the 50s. What happened is along the way, they realized with social media, they could create something where we would all give them all of our information freely about everything about ourselves. People are going to post pictures of themselves naked, which they keep forever. Every click you make is going right into the intelligence agencies. And then that data is being profiled and given to the New World Order. Sold for money, for advertising and marketing. And by the way, Zuckerberg may have his own rules and his own, we're going to protect privacy, but don't for a minute think that they aren't still collecting the information. They've got it all. It's archived. It's every phone call you've ever made, every email you've ever made, and people are stupid enough to put these devices in their homes, which can record everything they say. Facebook can track you even if you're not a member of Facebook. They can all do all the tracking anywhere you appear on the internet, and that stuff is archived forever. What we've got to do is we've got to reclaim the internet. We've got to have an internet bill of rights, as it were, to impose First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. We've got to do this through Congress, and I'm here to tell you that before Donald Trump is done, the internet will be 100% regulated, or it will be broken up. Because Donald Trump understands the threat to our freedom. The threat to our freedom every one of us face with this information is so massive control that never occurred to George Orwell or Aldous Huxley that this could happen. But I'm here to say that in conclusion of all this, the same conclusion in, you know, the book I've just written in Killing the Deep State, it ends, in the end, Donald Trump wins. And never forget that in the end, God wins. Thank you.
is my plan to dismantle the deep state and reclaim our democracy from Washington corruption once and for all. And corruption it is. First, I will immediately reissue my 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats, and I will wield that power very aggressively. Second, we will clean out all of the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus, and there are plenty of them. The departments and agencies that have been weaponized will be completely overhauled so that faceless bureaucrats will never again be able to target and persecute conservatives, Christians, or the left's political enemies, which they're doing now at a level that nobody can believe even possible. Third, we will totally reform FISA courts, which are so corrupt that the judges seemingly do not care when they are lied to in warrant applications. So many judges have seen so many applications that they know were wrong, or at least they must have known. They do nothing about it. They're lied to. Fourth, to expose the hoaxes and abuses of power that have been tearing our country apart, we will establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents on deep state spying, censorship, and corruption. And there are plenty of them. Fifth, we will launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with the fake news to deliberately weave false narratives and to subvert our government and our democracy. When possible, we will press criminal charges. Sixth, we will make every inspector general's office independent and physically separated from the departments they oversee so they do not become the protectors of the deep state. Seventh, I will ask Congress to establish an independent auditing system to continually monitor our intelligence agencies to ensure they are not spying on our citizens or running disinformation campaigns against the American people, or that they are not spying on someone's campaign like they spied on my campaign. Eighth, we will continue the effort launched by the Trump administration to move parts of the sprawling federal bureaucracy to new locations outside the Washington swamp. Just as I moved the Bureau of Land Management to Colorado, as many as 100,000 government positions could be moved out, and I mean immediately, of Washington to places filled with patriots who love America, and they really do love America. Ninth, I will work to ban federal bureaucrats from taking jobs at the companies they deal with and that they regulate. So they deal with these companies and they regulate these companies, and then they want to take jobs from these companies. Doesn't work that way. Such a public display cannot go on, and it's taking place all the time, like with Big Pharma. Finally, I will push a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on members of Congress. This is how I will shatter the deep state and restore government that is controlled by the people and for the people. Thank you very much.
By the people and for the people. Sounds like something that our guest last week, Salim Mansour, was advocating for Canada, a country saddled with a constitution and charter of rights and freedoms that was written by the politicians for the politicians. Well, right now, despite America already being a nation explicitly founded by the people and for the people, it's pretty clear that America, too, is currently being run by the politicians for the politicians. I agree with every one of Trump's 10 steps to dismantle the deep state. Can you just imagine how the prospect of term limits alone would be terrifying to an entrenched political class? I mean, that alone would be incentive to eliminate Trump at all costs. But this brings us back to Jerome Robert Corsi's narrative that we just heard before Trump's comments, and his reference to QAnon and the military. Except for his opening comments regarding some kind of military coup that was planned against Obama, the rest of his narrative was already known to me, since it was covered by a handful of other podcasters and bloggers. We also featured those narratives on past broadcasts of this show. I have to confess that when Obama was elected to a second term as president If in fact he ever actually was, it's a question to ask now, isn't it? But our own take, here on Just Right, on his second election back on our November 8th, 2012 broadcast, was titled, Oh No, Obama. And our talking points focused on how there were no positive voices on the re-election of President Barack Obama, and predicting the inevitable, America at the cliff, America losing its freedom, the destruction of the world's first nation. Do these topics sound familiar? On July 30th, 2009, during his first term, we discussed Obama versus capitalism. On May 5th, 2011, we discussed Obama's fake birth certificate and asked the question, is it a real fake or a fake fake? And on January 24th, 2013, we discussed Obama's continuing journey in the wrong direction on a segment titled Backwards Together. Everything about Obama was overtly and openly anti-American. I spotted it from his opening inaugural address. I remember it to this day. And yet the majority of Americans were cheering him on. And that is why Corsi's account of a military coup d'etat made sense to me with regard to Obama himself, and why Trump's suggested alternate strategy, you know, let's do it my way, like we heard in our opener today, made so much sense with regard to addressing the delusion under which Americans were still operating. That had to be overcome. So Corsi's statement that QAnon is military intelligence and close to Trump makes perfect sense to me and plausibly fills the gaps of a lot of questions I've had since Trump entered the political scene. Not the least of which is how come Trump hasn't been dealt with by the deep state in the same way they took care of, say, oh, John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and a whole host of lesser-known victims of their open violence and assassinations. How come X-22, operating under the pseudonym of David Nazipzode, one of the key voices of the Q phenomenon, always has the facts well ahead of everyone else, and how come the narrative he espouses each and every day is so consistent and credible? How come so many of the other major voices of the right never mention or talk about the X-22 report? Fear of being accused of some kind of conspiracy or something? I don't get it. When I first heard about Q, we were being told that the people who listened to or follow the QAnon narrative were suffering from another derangement syndrome that they called hopium. And we addressed that on our February 11th, 2020 broadcast entitled QAnon at the Tipping Point. But since first hearing about that condition, hopium, I've come to learn that most of the people who accuse others of hopium are suffering from their own derangement syndrome, pessimism. Hopium and pessimism, two sides of the same coin, the eternal optimist versus the eternal skeptic. The implication of being told that you suffer from either of these conditions is that you are blindly accepting or rejecting a given narrative simply on the basis of your own prejudice towards it or against it. But it never addresses the reality of what the narrative is and what is visible to all. For example, did we all or did we not just hear Trump announce his 10 steps to eliminating the deep state? Now, whether I'm optimistic about that, and I am, or pessimistic about his plans, does not affect the reality that he has a plan, is acting on it, and has been scoring amazing successes and victories that few are hearing about, unless they follow somebody like X-22. The daily viewing stats on X-22's Rumble channel alone dwarf that of most of the other major voices out there. I mean, every day without fail, two new shows are posted, and here are a few relevant stats as they appeared on April 4th at about 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. He puts out two episodes a day. On April 3rd, his episode 3036A got 139,000 views, and episode B, 441,000 views. The day before, and I'll go A and B, A, 157,000 views versus 468,000 views on B. April 1st, 155,000 views on one show, 613,000 on his second. On March 31st, 183,000 on his first, 525,000 on his second. I mean, you get the general idea. And by the way, the A episodes which are always lower than the B episodes, generally concern money and the financial markets, while the B episodes concern the geopolitical news of the day. This is a very unique website, and it's been raising numerous questions in my mind since I first discovered it. And I can speak from experience that I pick up on more facts and insights from a single episode of X-22 than I can from a host of other bloggers and podcasters who generally end up reporting the same news and narratives, but much later or in a completely different context. But here's the point. I really don't care who or what anyone thinks that X-22 is about. In my experience, X-22 reports have been 100% bang on to what we eventually learn is the truth. And that is what I believe to be the singular factor that continues to account for the amazing, growing size of X-22's daily audience. And now, turning our attention to the news of the day, Trump's indictment. Talk about taking the words right out of my mouth. Here's Mark Levine on Fox News, March 31st.
Mark Levin joins us live. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I got two questions for you to start with, and I know you've got some comments prepared. But number one, do you think this will be televised if Donald Trump does go on trial in New York because they don't necessarily have courtroom cameras? And also, do you think the former president will take the stand in his defense?
This isn't about the law. This isn't about publicity. This isn't about a headshot and fingerprints and all the rest. People need to understand, in my view, the broader picture here. Two impeachments, a criminal investigation, five grand juries, a phony case that nobody would ever bring against anybody, another phony investigation in Georgia over the word find the votes, another two phony investigations in Washington, D.C., over documents where we would never use a warrant and a SWAT team. If it had been the Reagan administration and I was chief of staff to Attorney General Meese, that never would have happened. Or the trying to take January 6th and criminalize what is a purely political procedure under Article 2 of the Constitution. The bigger picture here is, as far as I am concerned, we have crossed the Rubicon. This is a tyranny now. Now, what am I talking about? We want to talk about the niceties of the law, the elements of the law. You can't prove that. It doesn't matter. The law here is dead. They're not using the law. Bragg is not being motivated by the law. Neither are any of these Soros prosecutors. They tell you every day what they're up to. They're up to not following the law. When you have a president of the United States and Joe Biden who says over and over and over again that Donald Trump and his supporters are a threat to democracy. He's sending a signal out there to his mob. He's sending a signal out there to the Democrats in Congress. He's sending a signal out there to their prosecutors, and they've heard him. Pelosi has said the same thing. Schumer has said the same thing. The media have said the same thing. They've compared Trump to Hitler and to other horrific figures in the historic past. And so Bragg and the others look at their job as taking this guy out. The media have said the same thing. We have to put impartiality and objectivity aside. That cannot be our pursuit anymore. This man is a fundamental existential threat to the country. Therefore, we must take him out. And then when you take the environment in which the Democrat Party is operating, which is putting together phony legal memos to go after parents at school board meetings, using SWAT teams to go after a preacher who was protesting at an abortion clinic where local DA wouldn't take the case and nobody would take the case, and they bring a federal case against the man, and he's found innocent in 2 days. I can go down the list. They've prosecuted 1,000 people already, January 6th. The U.S. attorney who will not prosecute local crimes, let 70% of the local crimes pass, won't take them, says there's 1,000 more people to go after. This is a war on the Republican Party. They want to change the voting system. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to pack the Senate. The borders are wide open to change the demographics of the country. This is exactly what I wrote about here. That's what's going on. You got to be able to understand what's going on from the bigger picture. And this sort of thing is happening in totalitarian regimes. The Democrat Party hates America. They never talk up America. They never quote from the Declaration of Independence. They use the Constitution to cherry-pick the Constitution. There's nothing they like about the country. They don't like the economic system of the country. And the guy that stood up against them and prevented Obama from having his third term with Hillary Clinton was Donald Trump. And Donald Trump understands this. He's not a Chris Christie type. He's not a Larry Hogan type. He's not a Chris Sununu type. Donald Trump is a once-in-a-generation leader. I don't care about all the static. He's a once-in-a-generation leader who actually sees what's going on, not because he's an ideologue, he's not, but because he's a businessman who looks at things like the rest of us look at things. We have Republicans who run for office and they stay in Congress for 10, 20, 30 years who do nothing. This man did a lot. And so the Democrat Party wants a one-party country. It wants a one-party system. And it has done the final thing that you do when you put the nail in the coffin of a republic, which is take the law and use it against the law. So I can sit here and break down the laws in Manhattan. I can sit here and break down the laws in Georgia. I can sit here and break down the laws about the Presidential Records Act and the Espionage Act mm-hmm. and all the rest. That's not what's happening here. And it's not an accident that this happens in Democrat cities right. with Democrat judges, with Democrat prosecutors, with Democrat grand juries, and that's the way it's going to work. And the Republicans better wake the hell up. We need to circle the wagons. We need to understand what we're up against. This is much more fundamental than some phony rogue case by a phony rogue prosecutor who was installed by George Soros and the Democrats. This is much bigger than that. So to answer your question, I don't give a damn about the processing that goes on in Manhattan and all the rest of it. This country has now become a tyranny in many respects, and the American people feel it. The American people know it. They see what's taking place. The American media had become the Pravda media because it's loaded with Democrats in the American media. And look, even Fox, conservative talk radio, OAN, Newsmax, under constant attack, under constant pressure by sleazy lawyers, by sleazy, phony journalists, because they don't like the competition.
Right. And they're
Of ideas,
and they're
period.
Losing.
They
and
don't want the
way,
competition from the Republican Party and conservatives. That is what's going on.
Mark, right now, the Fox News poll on Tuesday has Trump up by 30 points on Ron DeSantis, and this will probably only foster it. Let me ask you something. You interviewed the president yesterday, I understand, before the indictment came down. How would you describe his demeanor?
And I went back afterwards because I was invited to dinner. This is a remarkable man. I mean, would you be able to eat after you were charged like this with a phony prosecutor? He was very congenial. He was very strong. He was there with the former first lady. And his son was there, Don Jr., and they couldn't have been. This is a real family. This is a very close family. If you saw the president and Melania together, they are tight as can be. They are strong as can be. He's a very decent man. He cares so deeply about the country. You walk around Mar-a-Lago or you look outside and you think to yourself, this man doesn't need any of this. All he has to do is say, I'm not running anymore. I give up. He won't give up. He's not going to back down to this stuff. And so his supporters and the rest of the American people need to understand that this is a unique man at a unique time in our history, that this country is in very, very grave danger when the law is being used this way against political opponents, a Republican Party, people who have different views at school board meetings and who are opposed to abortion. And it's even worse than that. The efforts by the Biden administration to censor free speech and the Democrat Party, the disinformation board that they want to create, the commingling of government with the social media platforms. Look. I have been studying totalitarianism and tyranny. I have been studying fascism and communism. This is it, guys. This is it. I know people think it can't be. It's the United States of America.
what makes us different is our Constitution. What makes us different are the Bill of are the first 10 amendments, is the Bill of Rights within the Constitution. What makes us different is our customs and our traditions and our systems. And when you have one party that has given up all of that, that violates all the boundaries, that is in power for a temporary period of time and wants to make its power permanent, and they've done this in places like California and New York and Illinois and New Jersey, and they take those models and they try and superimpose it on the entire United States.
But they all fail.
People are fleeing these blue states.
Right,
that's why Florida's population and Tennessee's population. They're going up. They're trying to find places where freedom still exists.
Right. Mark, we've been
And I am telling you right now, what Bragg has done is the tip of the iceberg. This man should be disbarred, but he won't be disbarred. You have a Democrat bar. You have a Democrat top court. You have Democrat judges. The whole system is fixed.
You're listening to Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. And it's a good thing Levin didn't waste any time talking about the processing and all the rest of it, because it was pretty much a non-event. In his April 4th report for Newsmax, reporter Jack Gornell writes, and I quote, "I never thought anything like this could happen in America," former President Trump told supporters at Mar-a-Lago Tuesday night, after appearing in a Manhattan courtroom and pleading not guilty to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Judge Juan Merchan did not issue a gag order during Tuesday's court appearance, but admonished both sides to refrain from statements that could spur violence. Trump has said Merchan hates him and has criticized Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg for bringing the case after his predecessor, Cyrus Vance Jr., declined to prosecute. Trump rarely spoke during the proceedings, but when he did, it was loud and clear. Not guilty. He denies all 34 counts against him, felony charges related to hush money payments, including over an alleged tryst with adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Trump's lead counsel, Todd Blanch, repeatedly referred to his client as the president and urged the judge not to prevent him from reacting to perceived criticism on social media. Limiting Trump's ability to speak out would be potentially unfair for someone who's running for the president of the United States, said Blanch. On Tuesday afternoon, following Trump's court appearance, another court ordered Stormy Daniels to pay Trump's attorneys in that case another $122,000, bringing the total to $600,000, his attorney in that case, Harmeet Dhillon, said, end quote. Wow. And if you're asking yourself how Trump could possibly be prosecuted for anything to do with Stormy Daniels, when she's already been forced to pay these legal fees to Trump for her false criminal accusation against him, let alone her statement that no tryst occurred, don't expect any rational explanations. Going back to a past broadcast of this show, we featured a clip of Donald Trump explaining why more people still need to wake up to the crises before he can act and, quote, do what must be done, end quote. As I commented at the time, it was clear that Trump was not talking about politics as usual. There has always been a strong military narrative accompanying Trump's own, from his establishment of the Space Force to his even raising Q and QAnon at some of his rallies, to say nothing about all of the hints he's dropped along these lines. Trump knows that he is dealing with an opposition that does not respect life or the rule of law, does not respect the principles of justice, that wants to disarm its citizens, and that resorts to physical violence, coercion, and fraud in order to get its way. The left is uncivilized. People become civilized when they learn and understand that they cannot get what they want by using violence. The concept of consent is alien to the left. They deny it to adults while simultaneously proclaiming that those who have not reached the age of consent should be granted it. But that version of consent only consists of children agreeing with their depraved administration of kill shots and the disfigurement of the children. Civilization is about the banning of force from human discourse and relationships, and its standard of morality is always based on the well-being and betterment of human life. Consider the parallels between America's so-called January insurrection and Canada's Ottawa trucker convoy of 2022. In both cases, civilized people were peacefully protesting their government's unpeaceful actions and policies, and in both cases, each government locked up innocent people as out-and-out political prisoners. I've never seen anything like it outside of the stories we hear from the kind of countries that Canada's Justin Trudeau admires. You know, countries like China. Here in Canada, we've got this mealy-mouthed, disgusting subhuman prime minister who openly says he admires the dictatorship of China while simultaneously justifying Canada's role in Ukraine to fight the presumed dictatorship of Russia. Both in the name of democracy. How much more broken or evil can one person's mind possibly be? But the left, and by that I mean all forms of collectivism, is a death cult, so much so that depopulating the world has become its open objective and the vaccines are its primary bioweapon to accomplish that task. And hey, if that isn't doing the job fast enough, well, let's have a nuclear war to speed things up, shall we? The left is incapable of intellectual discourse, or even of any basic understanding of how anything works or functions in life. I've dealt with this reality for over half a century. The reason that the left cannot defend its ideology is because that ideology is not connected to either reality or to reason. The left operates on the primacy of consciousness, not on the primacy of existence. And at the core of all the events we're dealing with is the overtly stolen 2020 election, and in their attempt to retain their unearned and undeserved power, the Democrats have unleashed a wave of terror and violence such as never been seen in American history. From threatening nuclear annihilation and starting a fake war with Russia, reviving racism as a government policy, attacking Christians for being Christian, filling the jails with political prisoners who couldn't hurt a fly, let alone be a threat to the government, to the constant calling for violence, which they have been attempting to instigate at every opportunity. So when Judge Mershon admonished both sides to refrain from statements that could spur violence on Tuesday, that was an overtly political statement. The left never makes statements that spur violence. They just do the violence in the name of dystopian causes. The right is accused of spurring violence for the mere act of asking questions and challenging the official narratives on anything from COVID to Ukraine to the stolen U.S. election. And the double irony in that is that of all the violence we have seen over the past several years, it has always been exclusively that of the left. Now here again is Donald Trump from an earlier speech, followed by a rather strange endorsement by Alex Jones.
I will immediately sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other racial, sexual, or political content on our children. Fight for parents' rights, including universal school choice and the direct election of school principals by the parents. If any principal is not getting the job done, the parents should be able to vote to fire and select someone else who will get the job done. We will defeat the cult of gender ideology to reassert that God created two genders, male and female. Thank you. Right. I will revoke every Biden policy promoting the disfigurement of our youth and ask Congress to send me a bill prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states. And we will keep men out of women's sports. I will not give one penny to any school that is a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate. Either the deep state destroys America or we destroy the deep state. That's the way it's got to be. We're at a very pivotal point in our country. Either we descend into a lawless abyss of open borders, rampant killings, super hyperinflation, which is what we have right now and not coming down, and festering corruption, or we evict Joe Biden and the Democrats from the White House and we make America great again. And 2024 is the final battle. That's going to be the big one. If you put me back in the White House, their reign will be over and America will be a free nation once again.
So Trump is 10 times more hardcore now. And the rhetoric he's putting out will energize the base. We're taking over the local governments again, despite Soros' attempts to dominate them. We're having major headway. And we'd be a fool to throw the baby out with the bathwater with Trump. The problem is, I was thinking about it last night and this morning. He has to come out and say he was lied to about Operation Warp Speed and by Fauci. We know they came to him. They said, we can do it quickly. They already had the so-called vaccine ready. They lied to him and said they didn't. Then they claimed they made it in 2 weeks. He's got to expose that to save lives and stop the next stage pandemic. But that said, if you're against Trump, okay, who are we for? And then what is your path? And I'm saying that legitimately, that I respect you. And I understand your concerns, and I have real concerns, and I don't like the fact that Trump has done the wrong thing on the poison injections. But on all these other issues, he's doing a great job. Look at the comparison to Biden and the New World Order and how much the deep state hates him.
The only president of the United States to be impeached for a second time.
January 6th committee releasing its final 845-page report.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted.
Remember this. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead.
This is a party that wants an outsider badly.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
You must keep pushing forward. Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit, you'll want to go home. I can't do it. I can't do it. Just never quit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. And you will have the faith to replace a broken establishment with a government that serves and protects the people. They're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way. And I always will stand in their way.
Trump is absolutely correct when he says that he's just in the way. It's been a constant and recurring theme throughout his administration, and is one of the main ones that we have been highlighting on this show. The real target of the Democrats and the deep state is Americans themselves, whom they wish to deny any political choice that represents the values that Trump represents. But think about it. It works the other way around as well, doesn't it? I mean, look at it from the side of the deep state. It's not Trump they're scared of. It's we the people. I don't know how anyone can listen to Donald Trump express his values and policies and contrast them to those of his opponents and not see how truly evil the entire deep state democratic apparatus is to the core, and how virtuous Donald Trump is. Now, please allow me to respectfully disagree with Alex Jones' contention that Trump was wrong about the poison injections. Alex Jones' constant harping about Trump's handling of the vaccine rollout is just completely inappropriate. His latest argument is that unless Trump comes out against the vax, people, meaning probably Trump supporters, will continue to take it because of Trump's former endorsement of the vax. I don't know about you, but whenever I saw Trump raise the virtues of vaccinations in his earlier rallies, he was booed and definitely not cheered or applauded for any vax comments. So in this respect, his fans were a mile ahead of him on the vaccine front at that time. And when I first heard Trump say that his vax rollout, Operation Warp Speed, saved millions of lives, and this is my own speculation on the matter, I wasn't interpreting that as a medical assessment, but a political and military one. Remember what the deep state was planning at the time, to keep us locked down for a dozen years or more while they could develop a vaccine against their imaginary viral threat. Coincidentally, just beyond their magical 2030 date, by which time they planned the Great Reset to be firmly in place, Agenda 2030. Operation Warp Speed destroyed the credibility of those who were pushing the bioweapons disguised as vaccines. You think we'd know what we know today if they were still talking about developing them and keeping us locked down? Never apologize, especially for a calculated reaction to a criminal action. Operation Warp Speed appeared to stand in direct contradiction to everything else that Trump was saying about the vaccines. He never called for mandates. He ordered his staff from the very beginning to make sure that hydroxychloroquine be made available and distributed across the nation, but his own staff disobeyed him. I heard him on record advising that children should never be given the vaccine. Even at the time, he was still saying, oh, take a vaccine. Trump has stopped pushing the vaccines for quite a long time now. He has already publicly declared the vaccines to be a failure. He has acknowledged that they don't work. He has called on the prosecution of Big Pharma. He has vowed to defund any state-funded institutions that wish to mandate the deadly vaccines, which are a bioweapon in reality, or the mandating of masks, which is a destructive and health-threatening practice. These are all facts. And people like Alex Jones and Stu Peters, for some reason, want Trump to recant on his political strategy regarding the deadly vaccines, after themselves acknowledging that Trump was lied to and misled about them. Clearly, they either don't understand his strategy or they have rejected it. I also heard them both suggest at some point in the past that QAnon is a psyop conducted by the deep state, which never made any sense to me, especially given that every QAnon narrative that I've been following has turned out to be essentially true and represents a narrative that is anti-deep state. That just doesn't make sense. So why are they doing this? And I think I'm beginning to get a glimpse as to why. I heard Stu Peters in his April 3rd conversation with Peter Navarro speaking totally as a Trump supporter, yep, but criticizing Trump for going through with the whole fake indictment process rather than resisting and fighting back in some more direct way. Now, you know, I can empathize with that sentiment, but as a matter of long-term strategy based on the art of war, I don't think it works. That would totally defeat Trump's purpose and strategy, which is primarily to wake Americans up to the danger that is staring them in the face. Participating with the indictment does two things, as I currently understand it. One, it demonstrates to Americans and to the world just how corrupt his enemies are. And two, it sets the precedent, there's that word again, for any subsequent administration, especially his, to do to them what they are doing to him. As I wrote in our August 18th blog, Just Right 772, accompanying that day's broadcast, as the persecuted protagonist in the greatest American story ever told, Trump has known all along that unless the narrative is just right, America's story won't have a happy ending. Already, most of the circus surrounding Trump's indictment procedure has played out, given his presence in New York this past Tuesday, along with his speech delivered from his home in Mar-a-Lago. As I understand it, Trump supporters in New York were lining up and down the streets upon his arrival, and his popularity in public polls is soaring. Now, depending how you look at it, the worst and/or the best is yet to come because America's Rubicon has truly been crossed. And we will all be on the other side as we get together again next week when we will continue our journey in the right direction. And until then, be right, stay right, do right, act right, think right, and be right back here. We'll see you then.
Fade into color, color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
Clank, if there is one thing I hate, it's admitting I'm wrong. And the thing I hate more is being wrong where you are concerned.
We all make mistakes, sir.
I said I was wrong. I didn't say anything about a mistake.